Welcome to the Move Rural Canada podcast, where every week we showcase incredible businesses in rural and northern Canada. Businesses that are not only growing, but are looking to hire.
We're here to show you companies and communities outside of the big cities that are building stronger and more inclusive workplaces. Workplaces that want and are encouraging newcomers, immigrants, and refugees to work with them.
Let us be your guides to help you find the best places in Canada to not only immigrate, but build a career and settle.
I'm your host, Leah Mitchell.
And I am your co-host, Lindsay Rubinek.
Join us as you learn about all of the amazing career opportunities in places that you may not have ever thought of moving.
Let's get started.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Move Rural Canada podcast. We are very excited about our guest today. We have Lakeisha Curry. She is the Labor Force Development Coordinator for the City of Sault Ste. Marie. She's also the Economic Development Officer for the RCIP pilot, which is the Rural Community Immigration Program. Lakeisha, welcome so much. We're happy to have you.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited for what you guys are doing, and I just always love to share about rural.
All right. So we'll get right into the questions. First off, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be living in Sault Ste. Marie.
Okay, awesome. All right. So like Leah mentioned, my name is Lakeisha Curry, and I moved to the Sault about 4 years ago. Before I moved to the Sault, I was in the GTA, so the Greater Toronto Area, and I had lived in so many different communities. I moved so many times, but I had moved from the UK to Toronto and just really was trying to, you know, settle myself. And then my family grew, and, you know, every time your family grows a little bit more, you have to move. And then, you know, so we kept moving, and I really, really wanted to be settled. And I just didn't know how to, but I kept trying to figure it out. So at the time I was working as a career specialist. So I was assisting newcomers to find employment, and a job developer of mine was scheduled to go to this particular event. And it was an event with this organization called Newcomer Center of Peel. And they have a program called the Rural Employment Initiative. And they were actually the only one doing it at the time. And he mentioned it to some people in our office. And they're like, the event was being put on for employers coming from the Sault and really presenting it to newcomers as an option to come to Sault Ste. Marie. And I looked at the flyer, and the flyer had really good roles. Like, the roles were, you know, roles that I wasn't really seeing in the GTA at the time. He asked, is there anyone in the office that would, you know, could go on my behalf? And everyone go, do you know how far that is? My clients are not going down there. Like, that's 7 hours. And I thought to myself at the time, I want to go, because to me, when you come as a newcomer, you haven't really set roots as yet. So I what I wanted to do is not make a decision for a newcomer. I wanted to go find out what it is, bring it back to them, and then expose them to whatever else was there. So I said, okay, I'll go. So I went to the event, and the event was being put on by Newcomer Center of Peel, like I mentioned. And there was like a bunch of employers from Sault Ste. Marie. And then the mayor went on stage. There was the previous mayor, Christian Provenzano. He went on stage and he said, newcomers, we will welcome you to Sault Ste. Marie. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, like, this is amazing. So I started talking with all of the employers. And then one of the employers said to me, it takes her 7 minutes to get to work. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so lying. Like, that's such a lie. It takes me 10 minutes from my 10th floor to get downstairs with my kids. Like, it takes me 10 minutes just to get downstairs. How is it that you're saying it takes you 7 minutes to get to work? And I'm like, that cannot be, you know? So Newcomer Center of Peel now, they used to do like bus tours. So they were going to this community called Sarnia. And at the time, again, the only time I knew anything about these communities was CP24 when they showed you the weather report. So I'm like, okay, let me go. So I went to, when I went back in after, you know, going to that event, I just started really talking about rural and, you know, just sharing it with everyone, so much so that I became like a spokesperson for anyone that wanted to relocate. So all of these other colleagues that I was working with, anytime someone talked about relocating, they would come, they'll call me and I'll be like, so there's this, right? And I would really go in. And then I went on this tour with them to Sarnia. And driving up there, you know, everything was new. And I still today, to this day, I can't believe that I didn't know anything about rural. This was 2018. So it's not that long ago, just 2018, yeah. Right? And I'm driving there. Now I've invited a client of a colleague, and where they're sitting on the bus coming to explore this new place that, you know, it's been established for so long. But anyhow, so we're on this bus and we're going down, and then they pass this Walmart and different plazas, and then we stop off at this town. I guess it was a hotel at the time, and I was sitting beside a realtor, and she was sharing of the different homes and $200,000, $250,000, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this cannot be real. Like, this really is not real. And as much as I was getting excited, I was so much more excited for my clients. At the time, I had 70 clients that I was supporting to find employment. And that was a rolling number. So I would get 14 off and then another 14. So 1 month it went to 90. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I really need to figure this out to support others, right? So as I'm there on, you know, October, I'm just really sucking in all of this information because I can already see clients that I'm already, you know, saying, mm-hmm. hey, I know you just came 2 months ago, 3 months ago, start looking into things like that. So we go to this event and we stopped off at this career center, and then they started showcasing all of the different employment opportunities. And I go to myself, what? It was always said that there's no jobs in rural, right? And that's the reason why people say they don't move to rural, is that there's no jobs in rural communities. And here she is showing me all of these employment opportunities. And then they kind of split us up. So we were at the community center, employment center. And then a bunch of the others went to job sites to really see the landscape of where, you know, they could be. So it was kind of like around that engineering and manufacturing. And I, like, they brought back, you know, what they learned, and we all kind of just shared. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's life out here. That's literally what I said to myself. I'm like, there's life out here. Oh my gosh. So a little bit after that, obviously COVID hit, and then I moved to Africa. I moved back. I got ill and I moved back, and then started working as the job developer for the REI program. And now I'm helping Timmins, I'm helping Sudbury and all of the smaller rural communities. And again, I'm in my head going, oh my gosh, I'm helping all of these people. What about helping myself? Right? So then I see this home for $185,000 2021. $185,000 was a semi-detached. And, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I need to figure this out. Like, how can I be a part of this? Now I'm going to be able to get settled, right? Mm-hmm. Again, that was the little thing in my head. I need to get settled. I need to get settled. I have three boys. So I wanted to really stop moving around as much, and, you know, be able to settle with them. So then I said to myself, I'm helping all these people. I'm going to help myself. So that's how I moved to Sault Ste. Marie.
That is very cool. And I love the things that you brought up, that misconception, number one, that there's no jobs in rural. There's a million jobs in rural, you know, and housing price, like you've listed everything that I think a lot of newcomers don't realize in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Very true. I think just even the communication of it's far. So when they said that to me, I said, you know, like, even now people still say to me, oh my gosh, that's far. And I, you know, I'll say to them, like, did you walk from, let's say I'm talking to someone from the Caribbean. Did you walk from the Caribbean to get here? Right. Or did you walk from your country to get here? So far from really what? Right. Far from what? Right. Because you didn't walk to get, you took 4 hour flight to get here to Canada. Here is just a 7 hour drive or an hour flight to get to opportunity. You're not just leaving, you're leaving for an opportunity, which really isn't that what you told yourself that you're moving to Canada for, right? So when you're tying it back to that opportunity, it's like far from what, right?
Mm-hmm. That's brilliant. You just, yeah, well, that's a wrap. No, I'm just kidding. You've said everything. You know, let's go back to, you talked about, as Leah said, you talked about everything, you know, kind of in a nutshell, but let's kind of expand that in terms of, you talked about time, in terms of commute, you talked about housing prices and so on and so forth. So can you go into further detail about your community? You know, just like, yeah, like this population, you know, what services it has. And so what do you find very positive about your community where you currently live?
Okay. So what I find super positive about my community is you can choose to be a big fish in a small pond in the urban communities, or you can decide to be a small fish, get the support to grow and to be as big, whatever kind of fish you want to be in our small community. I love the support that you're able to get in a rural community. I have grown as an individual through career development from people who are, you know, in the community, that's been in the community for a while. So right now our population is 78,000 and growing. I think there's another, some 800, so 78,800 or so, but we continue to grow. So what I feel like has been the push in our growth is really working with employers to you know, talk about how they're able to understand what immigration is. When I moved here, I realized that was the missing piece. It was, what is immigration? And it's too complex for me to even get involved. So then I thought, okay, I'll bring federal, since I'm not an immigration consultant, but I'm knowledgeable. I'll bring federal to talk directly with the employers to add additional layer of support if needed. And then it just exploded. And it exploded because, yes, it for me right now, okay, so I have three boys, and it takes me, I leave out around 8:30 or so, and I can drop them off and be at work before 9 o'clock. Right. So it really, the commute is almost non-existent. And the reason why it takes me a little bit more time is because I get to come out and say good morning to his teachers. And, you know, those things help with the growth of my sons. But not even just that, as a community, you realize, oh, there's a little bit more support. I want to be here. I want to be here long term. So really right now we're moving away from the just that attraction piece to that retention piece. And the retention, what I'm seeing is that now we are having more families move into the community and they're able to purchase homes. Homes that you could still get something really decent, a starter family home for $200 to $250. You can even get something a good, decent 300 that you don't have to do any work on, right? So those are some of the pulling factors. Those are some of the retention factors that, you know, I continue to sell about Sault Ste. Marie. And, you know, addition to that, you're getting that community. I think IRCC, how they term it is the community hug, right? So you're also getting that community hug. So even when I'm working with employers, I'm also including the Sault Career Center. So we have a community center here. It supports the RAP program, so refugees that are coming in. It supports language, so at all different language levels. So you're doing link classes from 1 to 6, I believe. And most of their information is posted on their website. But you're also getting support for newcomers that are coming in that, you know, may not know how to, you know, revamp their resumes and stuff like that. In the past, there was no funding for that, right? You're really left to your school and your school to develop that. But now you're able to, you know, get additional resources as newcomer. What does that do? After you become PR, you're now even more knowledgeable of the services that the Newcomer Center provide, right? Now you can say, okay, my family, you know, if my family is here, they can do this, they can do that, they can access this service, they can access that service and get support, get more support. That only leads to longer retention in the community.
And I think that's what is so important in a lot of rural communities. And I want to add too, so you said, yeah, around 78,000. I mean, you know, coming from us in Manitoba, that's a big, that's, you got lots of supports in a large city like that, right? So I know people think, you know, oh, you know, you move rural, there's not, like, you guys have amazing supports with, you know, a population of 78,000. It's not as if it's, you know, a 1,000 population town, which there's nothing wrong with. But, you know, I think a lot of times newcomers, they don't think that's a large city. But honestly, in Canada, that's still considered a pretty large, you know, which is great. So you're still rural. All the opportunities are there, but you still have everything you need that a larger city would have as well.
Yeah. And some people who are moving don't necessarily want the urban cities either. I think when they move, when they hear the word rural, like even in my country, when you hear rural, you're really, you know, back and, you know, there's no transportation, there's lagging of different services. You know, you got to walk miles to get to anything. You don't necessarily have that here. You know, it's the rural based on the different countries that you're from that's making the misconception. Like, I've had people here that moved here just to explore the city and go, this is not rural. Like, what do you mean this is rural? Right? Like, I expected, you know, even just the, so when I just moved, I don't know why I'm talking quieter, so that it's almost like, okay, let me not let anybody hear me. But when I just moved here, right, I said, oh my gosh, I walked into the Canadian Tire, I go, oh my gosh, you guys have a Canadian Tire. Again, I just didn't know, right? Yeah. And then after a while, I was like, oh my gosh, I need to stop saying this. Because, right, they're so used to their rural being equipped with the same things as the urban cities are. But us from the outside, we didn't know all of that. I've done presentations with groups where I've plugged into the camera, and I just show them the amount, because you have, there's some bird's eye camera around Sault Ste. Marie. You can see the traffic that's moving. They're like, what? If you're a rural community, there's a lot more cars that I'm thinking. I'm not expecting the amount of people moving through the city when you say rural. So I think there's so much misconception of what that rural is. And it's really just coming from, you know, persons and their different countries that they're coming from and what the rural means to each person coming in. But we're far from what would be considered rural in the sense of, you know, less transportation, less services. No, we have all of that.
You have everything. Yeah.
You know, Lakeisha, that's really interesting because by trade, I'm a rural developer. And I've never actually heard someone put it that way in terms of what is rural in one country is different to another country. And you said it really well. So I'm going to take that away. And you keep referring to jobs. So let's talk a little bit further about that. What are the top industries, jobs that people could be looking at if they were to move to your community? Do you have some specific examples that you could give?
Yeah. So right now we are definitely pushing allied health. We are super in need of allied health. So the pharmacists, the OCTs, occupational therapists, we're not heavily in need of nurses as it was before, but that's only the only reason for that is because we had RNIP, right? So we've had multiple nurses come through that. And I think if I really put it on in terms of numbers, we've probably had 50 nurses come through that. So we've grown so much through RNIP, but we're continuing to grow. So we're still very much in need of PSWs, which we're seeing a lot more come through.
What do you mean, like, sorry, by PSWs, just so for
personal support workers? Okay. So we're still in need of that. However, we're seeing the colleges really start to tap into going into the schools and letting them do their placements in the hospital or the different group homes and then hiring them after that. So we've seen that shift of they're still fully staffed, but still continuing to need, as the year goes by. Trades, we still need trades, but at the same time, because of what's happening on the back end with tariffs and stuff like that, we've kind of, you know, we're still talking about the trades, but we're you know, watching that area. And then what else we're in need of is we're still growing I would stick to the healthcare. Healthcare is definitely a huge need for us.
And more in those, like you said, the allied roles, the support roles, all
correct.
Of that.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. Correct. And of course we need doctors. Yes. And if you're familiar, we do have family doctor as one of our knocks on our RCIP. So that's a huge, huge plus. And we've supported two doctors through the RCIP program recently.
And you guys are involved, or you've been awarded, the Rural Community Immigration Pathway.
And I just wondered if you want to tell us a little bit more about that and the industries you're focusing on.
Okay, yes, for sure. We were chosen as one of the communities to administer the new pilot called Rural Community Immigration Pilot, because we did so well with our NIP, which is Rural Northern Immigration Pilot. And some of the areas that we're focusing on for our CIP will still be the trades, healthcare, and education, and a bit of hospitality. Just because of the fact that we are, you know, a community that attracts a lot or looks a lot for tourism or tourists to move to be around in our community. The trades were still very much in need of, as well as healthcare.
And to add to that, is there a lot of programs in Sault Ste. Marie, like in terms of, let's say, colleges, things like that, if people want to move there and take that training there?
Yeah, actually, there is a wide range of new trades program that Sault College now has. And I was walking the other day and just met someone on the road, and he moved here because of one of the trades program. And then he was able to do his placement at one of our local companies called Tenaris. And then now his family has moved here. So his mom and dad and sisters have moved here to join him because of the fact that he loved the community so much. They visited up here. So yes, there's a lot more training programs at the dedicated learning institution here. So it's pulling a lot of people here, but even organically pulling families.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's nice too for a lot of people, especially newcomers, you know, in terms of credential recognition, or even if you have low level English, you might start off in those entry level positions, but now you have opportunities, you know, you don't have to go away for training. You can get that training and move into those higher paid positions as well.
Yeah. And some of the employers are actually professors at the college. So you're getting a front seat for persons who have brought over their skill sets from their home country that are just topping up on what it is that they want to get into in Canada. And then you're able to see, oh my gosh, there's this person who has 10 years of experience teaching in his home country that just came here for a refresher. I need him in my establishment to continue the growth of my business. Yeah. I'm going to employ him as soon as he graduates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a great networking opportunity even.
Right. And filling labor gap because you're able to kind of work with them as employers from the school system here in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Like in terms of the language piece, do you find a lot of newcomers struggle? Because obviously you have to work to live. Do you find there's challenges with people working and then finding ways to get that English?
Sometimes it's a challenge to inject the learning aspect to get them up to the speed of what they need to be at for conversational in the workplace. Mm-hmm. So yes, they may know English to get into Canada, to study in Canada, even to pass, to, you know, get their PR. However, the conversational at work is still some challenge. There's still some challenges there. Mm-hmm. I spoke with an employer recently that shared, you know, because of the fact that, you know, you're moving to a new country, what tends to happen is that in the workplace, you kind of group with who comes from your country and you're still talking that language amongst each other. So, you know, improving your English language skills for the workplace is still a challenge. We're definitely still seeing that.
Yeah. No, and you make a great point. I mean, I tell people that all the time. Obviously, you know, it's comfortable to stay with people who speak your language, but to get that growth piece, you've got to speak the English, you know, to get those higher positions, you need higher English.
Right. And, you know, you kind of say the same thing over and over again, just put the radio on at home. I think I remember someone saying, you know, but if you grew up in that country and up to the age of 7 years old, you'll never lose your language, mm-hmm. right? So in the fear of losing my language or losing your language is not really that much of a fear, especially if you know, you've been there for 20, 30 years. But also if you're wanting to, you know, grow your career, it's definitely important for you to try to continue to build on that English language skills, not even just for, you know, social, but career-wise.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. And like you said, I mean, employers notice, they're going to notice who has the English, you know. Communication in Canada is, you know, I always feel like it's like the number one thing, you know, yeah. We like to communicate, we like to talk. And so that's a huge piece of that. What are some challenges you've noticed that newcomers are facing as they move to Sault Ste. Marie? You know, you are a larger rural community, but it's still, you know, hours away maybe from Toronto, let's say, for example, right? Which is what people think of. Do you find people are facing challenges but I think being a large city, you have everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as soon as you think that there's a challenge, there's some other person to reach out to, you know, get the answer for said challenge. And I think though we are, you know, a bigger, smaller community, if that's the, yeah. that's the term, we're still small enough to be able to support each other, as well as to learn from each other of what those challenges would look like, right? So, you know, you may be talking with someone else that talks about their challenges and they know someone that could support you to answer said challenge. And it just continues to trickle down like that. So though there's challenges, and I'm always the one that's going to look for what are the challenges and who do I need to talk to? Who do I need to advocate to? Who do I need to, you know, I'm in an amazing position to bring some of the challenges that I'm hearing to the tables that newcomers aren't necessarily invited to. Mm-hmm. So as soon as you know, I hear those challenges, case in point, we had persons that, you know, had to travel out to Sudbury or to Toronto to take the English language test for either, you know, the DLI or for PR. And I've spoken with CELPIP multiple years trying to get that into community, you know, looking for different organizations for them to have that landing pad, to be able to administer CELPIP. And after 3 years, they recently was able to do that. So now they offer that here in our community, and that's huge. So
that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually so good. And slowly sharing that with others in the community for others that are, you know, having that challenge. It goes back to exactly what I said. As soon as the challenge arises, there's others that are knowledgeable of what I've shared or what I've, who I've pulled into the community or what we're doing as a community at large to answer to those challenges. You know, even when it comes to newcomers opening up businesses, then we have the local immigration partnership team that's able to work with the entrepreneur center, the Millworks here, to support them and put on a session. You know, you're trying to do business with food, then we have Sault Innovation Center with the RAIN. So there's so many resources. As soon as a challenge arises, then there's someone that's in place to be able to support, to at least try and get that challenge.
That's amazing in terms of, yeah, just to be so responsive to all that stuff. You know, that's super important. I mean, you have to adapt, right? And pivot where needed and add. Because like you said, I mean, if you grew up there, you don't think of those things because you just know everything. But if you're a newcomer, well, there's lots of things, you know, just even things like licenses. Is there transportation, like buses and things like that in town? Do people need licenses or?
So I would say, you know, there's transportation that are here and it's grown over the years. So, you know, because of the fact that this program's, you know, located within the city, we're able to quickly see those needs. Mm-hmm. So there is transportation here in the city. It's definitely bumped up. We have had persons who needed to apply for RNIP or RCIP that has applied to become bus drivers and are able to, that are able to use the program because of the need of the increase of drivers.
Yeah. So that's like, very cool.
Yeah. So there is transportation. We also have U-Ride. But I think I moved, when I recently moved into the community, I remember I was sharing with someone at the time and she said to me, do you know what? My phone died. And I said to this individual, can I please just check when the bus is coming? And she's like, oh, where do you live? I'll drop you. Right. So you also have that community that will say, you know, I'll drop you here or there. We have one of the local churches that a lot of newcomers tend to attend, and they have you have a car, you're responsible for picking up one or two people to get to church, right? So there's again, like I even mentioned,
community,
that big, you know, community feel. So even though there's, you're going to need a car later on, because, you know, if you have family, you're going to want to have that accessibility to transport, constant transportation. There's still enough transportation to get you around whilst you're in that transitioning period to get your licenses. There's multiple companies now that will teach you and train you up to get the license here in Canada as well. So,
yeah. So what's the climate like there then in terms of, you know, because we have, everybody has summer, fall, spring, winter. So how's your winter? Let's talk about that for a little bit. You talk about driving. A lot of newcomers are very hesitant about driving in the winter, which I totally get. But if you want to speak to that a little bit more about what the climate is like.
Yeah, so we get all four. You're going to have newcomers coming in and going, I don't know how to navigate this just yet. But because of the fact that, you know, it's not the same amount of traffic as an urban community would get, you can slow down a little bit more. You know, you can take the time to get to work a little bit easier, as well as you're not, because of that, you don't have that long commute, you don't have that need of rush to get to work. So yeah, we do have winters where, you know, you're wanting to jump in the car and get to work. But again, like I mentioned, you don't have that same challenge as you would have in the urban communities, where it's just so much traffic that before you know it, you get in an accident. You can really take your time here.
That's good. And how cold would you say winters get? Because that's always, I think, another concern, a misconception people have about Canada. I mean, it's not minus 50 everywhere in Canada, you know. What would you say, like, how cold does it get in the winters around Sault Ste. Marie?
So we can get up to that minus 21 on some days. Some days a little bit more, but it's never ever going to be like, you know, 5 days on the stretch where you're just like minus 21, minus 21, minus 21. But yeah, we do get between those minus 21, but there's days when I've looked and we're warmer than Toronto, right?
Oh, yeah.
So people don't think about that as well. So yeah.
And I think too, I mean, you just dress for the weather, you know what I mean? Like you get a good jacket, you get your mitts, your neck warmer, everything. And honestly, like, it's fine, you know?
Yeah, my boys say, Mommy, the car is where you stay. It's fine. If you're cold, go in the car. We want to be out. We want to be, you know, sliding down. We want to be outside doing winter activities. So if you have kids, like, you're going to have to figure out what you need to do, because they're not, I don't know what it is, but they don't feel the cold as much as we do. So they've already told me this year you got a snow pants if you need, you get it, but we're going to be outside.
So. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're almost at, and Lizzie, did you have any other questions you wanted to ask?
No, I just think, you know, if we haven't asked this already, because we've had a really good conversation with you, is just if somebody is going to be relocating or immigrating to your community, what are the top three things you would tell them to be prepared for, you know, be it positive or some things that, you know, they might think are there, but might not be there? What would you say to people arriving in your community?
I would definitely say to someone moving here, come and experience it for yourself. That's the first thing. Your friends and your family have different goals than you do. So they'll have different conversations of what your experience will be like before you even come here. So, you know, just like how you wouldn't take a review from every single person before you go to a restaurant. You know, sometimes it is that you need to come and experience it for yourself. I also add that rural to you in your home country might be different here in a rural community as Sault Ste. Marie. I am originally Caribbean and from the island of Jamaica, and I've lived in multiple different countries. There's nothing that I miss here. I still get my herbal teas that my grandma makes for me. You know, I still am able to connect and find foods that are from my country, which I think sometimes those are the things that, you know, newcomers think about, am I going to find my food? But you can still find your food. You can adapt as well to what's here and figure out how to make your own. I remember actually just talking with someone a couple of days ago, and he said, and he's from another rural community. He said, when I just moved here, there was this little section for international food. Now there's four different aisles in Walmart with international food. So I would definitely say really come and check it out for yourself, just like how someone would say to you, go to England, go to Canada, go to the US, right? And you sat down and thought to yourself, what do I want from my family?
Yeah.
Use that as your pilot and come and experience rural for yourself. Make your own assumption and also come and create the life that you have promised your family that you want to create.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, you said it all there. It's keeping your own culture, adapting a little bit, and having that goal in mind of what you want, and not worrying about what other people think or say, or, oh, this will happen. Like, you can figure it out.
Right. And we're resilient. We're resilient. Yep. We will figure it out. Plus, by the time you come here, you will find others that are going through similar things that you are also going through. And before you know it, you've created a tribe. Right.
Yeah.
And then once you create that tribe, that's it. You move on, you learn. And then you're like, oh, my gosh, I really don't want to go to an urban community because I like it here so much.
Yeah, no, exactly. And also as well, everyone who's listening, we're going to have all the connections and information in the show notes as well. So you'll know who, if you need to reach out, or even the places that you recommend people connect with, even to come out there to check it out and things like that. One more question to close out, because we always like to sort of highlight, is there anything special that you enjoy doing around Sault Ste. Marie, or a certain restaurant you really like? Or we always kind of like to highlight something fun as well in the community.
Yeah. What do I like to do? I have three boys, so I always say like I'm never home. So I'm always doing something. They love playing basketball. So we sometimes go to the YMCA to play basketball with them. Restaurants, we're really loving this breakfast restaurant called Stacked. It's new and it's just got all these fun pancakes that are local. And we love, there's this what is it called? Oh my gosh. They make the best syrups for us. We love that syrup. It's Hogan Homestead. They make the best maple syrup. And the experience, I don't buy regular syrup anymore because I love their syrup so much. And then to tie that in, you know, we know the owner. Like, how do you say, okay, I live in the community, I love the syrup, and I know the owner? Like, come on.
Yeah.
So those are some.
I go anywhere else things. Now.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Lakeisha, for coming on today. Really appreciate it. You've given everyone some great information about Sault Ste. Marie and just about the opportunities. And like you said, with, you know, RCIP on right now, now is really the time to really look at Sault Ste. Marie and how they can go through that process to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome. When you come, reach out. We'll touch base with you.
Mm-hmm. So thank you once again for coming on. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
And until next time, live rural, live well.
If you feel this could assist other people like yourself, please like and share our podcast. As well, we will leave links below to the topics we spoke about today. Thank you for listening, and join us next time to learn about another great company and community that is a great place to work and settle.